From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Unbroken Fellowship Essential. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 7, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Of necessity we must be in Christ to live unto him, and we must abide in him to be able to claim the largesse of this promise from him. To abide in Jesus is never to quit him for another love or another object, but to remain in living, loving, conscious, willing union with him. The branch is not only ever near the stem, but ever receiving life and fruitfulness from it. All true believers abide in Christ in a sense, but there is a higher meaning, and this we must know before we can gain unlimited power at the throne. Ask what ye will is for Enochs who walk with God, for Johns who lie in the Lord's bosom, for those whose union with Christ leads to constant communion. The heart must remain in love, the mind must be rooted in faith, the hope must be cemented to the Word, the whole man must be joined unto the Lord, or else it would be dangerous to trust us with power and prayer. The carte blanche can only be given to one whose very life is, not I, but Christ liveth in me. O, you who break your fellowship, what power you lose! If you would be mighty in your pleadings, the Lord himself must abide in you, and you in him.
Oh,
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read revival during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing his studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is bringing the next portion of a message called Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. The text is Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure and vice. And yet, even prior to Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. The Roman Christians proved their love for Christ in the fires of martyrdom during the persecutions of Nero when thousands of them were put to death. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message which succeeds in rescuing sinners from even the deepest of darkness and depraved conditions. Then Paul's words show that the gospel expresses the sovereign goodness of God in his immeasurable love for sinners. Now here's Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel.
We have a perfect righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. It's imputed to us. That's the ground of our acceptance, and that's the ground of our assurance. But the Lord not only justifies on the ground of the imputed righteousness of Christ, the Lord actually sanctifies believers and makes them holy. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you have at the end of the chapter a very well-rounded statement. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, 1 verse 30 of 1 Corinthians. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, and then you have four things, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom deals with the mind of the flesh. Righteousness deals with the guilt of our sin. Sanctification deals with the pollution of our sin. The redemption deals with the power of our sin. Now, when you look at that, you would imagine that here we have a list of four things. Well, we do have a list of four things. But there's a little thing that, little particle that goes untranslated, and yet it has tremendous importance. Let me give you it with that particle translated. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and both righteousness and sanctification? Or let me paraphrase it slightly, and both justification and sanctification. You see, while these are different things, you can never put them apart. Whom God justifies, he always sanctifies. In Hebrews chapter 10, in fact, sanctification is made, it's used in a way that it means exactly the same as justification. It's a once for all, equally done thing for all believers. But in another sense, of course, sanctification is an ongoing process. Not all Christians are equally holy, equally prayerful, equally obedient, equally mature. But I want to tell you, all Christians are being sanctified. Every one of them. He actually sanctifies them. Now, nothing else on earth but the gospel of Jesus Christ can accomplish this. It can take vile, filthy sinners and make them holy. Now, the Roman believers knew this well. They just had to look at their own membership, had to look at their own lives, and they knew from the society in which they lived, that the gospel had the power to change lives. I referred to an English writer, C. Leopold Clark. And Clark said something I think that we easily overlook. You know, remember, these New Testament churches were first century Christians. And you've got to see them in their own historical context. He said the central motive of paganism was that of the sanctification of every human indulgence and vice. by representing it exemplified in a god. What does that mean? A Church of England canon who wrote a great work on ecclesiastical and civil history, Canon Townsend, put it this way. It lets you see what the gospel was working against. The idolatry of paganism prescribed the mode in which every crime which could injure society, every vice which stained the heart, every thought that sullied the conscience could be united with external homage to the deity, with a magnificent ritual and a constant worship of the invisible. Then he said this, every evil was sanctified by the example of a god. Every sin was an act of devotion. Stealing, that was the service, if my memory's right, of Minerva. Adultery, fornication, promiscuity, that was the devotion of the soul to Venus. Paganism took every vice, every wickedness, every filthy thing that the human heart was capable of conceiving, and it dressed it up in the form of an act of worship to some god or other. Now that's what was going on in Rome. And then the gospel came in, and according to the gospel, these idolatrous obscenities were vices, not devotions. And the gods in whose worship they were committed were not gods but devils. That's what the gospel preached. It's true that Judaism joined Christianity in opposing or condemning the vices of paganism. But Judaism, with its dependence on the works of the law, had not the power to change the society and the people in it. But the gospel had, and the gospel did. So Paul could talk to these people in Rome, appeal to their own testimony, say, look, God called you, and what has he done? He has made you saints. In a society that is really one extended sewage site, morally speaking, God has made you holy. He's made you saints. It was true of the Romans, as it was true of the Thessalonians, that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. It was true what was true of the Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. These were new people. They were saints, where before they'd been sinners. You even take the Church of Corinth, and how often we lament the wickedness and the sin that seeped back into the church in Corinth. I don't want to make any excuses for them. But remember what I've just said. They were reared with the belief and the practice that every sin was an act of devotion to a god. That's how they were raised. And Satan tripped some of them up and hauled them back into their sin. But what did Paul respond with? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That is what's called a periphrastic description of the vilest sexual perversion of the Sodomites. As Paul wrote it, it was actually very, very vivid language. Paul did not pull his punches as he described the filth of the Sodomites. And he says, neither they, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, that wasn't only true of Corinth, that was true of Rome. In due time, we'll get down to Romans 1, verse 22 to 32. And when you look at that, where you've got the threefold statement that God gave them up because of their idolatry, because of their immorality, because of their impenitence, God gave them up. You look at the city of Rome, and it was just as bad as Corinth. And yet against this background of vice, the gospel came and truly sanctified the lives of believers. I haven't time to follow that through much tonight, except to say this to you. It's always the work of God through the gospel to make sinners into saints. What does he do? He unites believers with Christ. He indwells those believers with the Holy Spirit. He gives them a new heart, a new mind, and you will. He gives them a new desire. He gives them a new ability that they never had before to conform to his holy law and will. In the midst of universal degradation, the gospel shines with light and power to make men holy. That's why Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation. There's none too sinful. There's none too degraded. There's none hopeless. This is the confidence Paul had in the gospel.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.